Hello, Guitar Smarts listeners. This is an important announcement. Please don't skip ahead. We start this podcast with a special message. Way back in 2021, Guitar Smarts had the pleasure of interviewing the utterly fantastic Matt Long. Matt is a multiple award-winning British blues guitarist and lead singer of the British blues band Catfish and hard rock outfit The Revenant Ones. He joined us for episode number 20 and was a truly gracious guest who spoke about his career, his childhood, guitars, and meeting his hero, Joe Bonamassa. Well, Matt needs your help. Through 2023, Matt has been undergoing treatment for bowel cancer, and his recent prognosis has meant that to extend his life and retain a chance of survival, he needs to seek private treatment outside of the NHS. Matt's family have set up a GoFundMe page that is linked in the Guitar Smarts link tree in the description of this podcast, and we at the Guitar Smarts podcast would like to invite each and every listener to consider donating towards this fund that could well save the life of one of the brightest guitar talents of our generation. Now is the time, folks. Head on over to the link in the description to find the GoFundMe page. Donate what you can. Your donation could save a life. Thank you. Enjoy the podcast. Because I remember after the gigging ended, we were talking about modding season, you know, and I think I'm going to mod that guitar. And that kind of came out of the desire to try and get
a connection
with it, you know, can I make it, can I give it something, a new pickup or a new neck or whatever that makes me go, okay, now I'm really connecting with this. And in the end, I ended up building a Strat. It's hilarious.
I'm buying another guitar. I love it. I love the journey.
Greetings. Welcome back to the Guitar Smarts podcast. This week we have our final episode of 2023. I want to start by thanking each and every one of you who've joined us and listened to the show throughout the year. It's really a great pleasure for Kieran and I to share these conversations with you, and we have great plans to bring even more in 2024. So keep those subscriptions active and look out for more as we get into January. This week we talk about two new guitars, one for Kieran, one for me. I recently purchased an old Fernandez Superstrat that came up for an absolute steal on Reverb.com, and Kieran talks us through the special purchase he made at the London International Guitar Show. It's fair to say we've both ended 2023 on a high as far as our guitar collections are concerned. But lastly, we also talk about what we hope for in 2024. Reach out to us and let us know what your guitar plans are for 2024. Are you looking to buy that guitar you've always wanted? Are you going to sell some stuff? Or like me, are you going to find a renewed motivation to practice and improve? Let us know over on the Guitar Geek Hangout on Facebook. The usual housekeeping, as always, remember to like and subscribe to the podcast so you won't miss the next show. Check out the link tree in the description that provides you with quick and easy links to our podcast page on Spotify, the backing track solo challenges we've recently produced, and some excellent Spotify playlists related to previous shows. But if you click on one link only, make it the Guitar Smarts Guitar Geek Hangout page on Facebook, where you can get to know many other guitar nerds just like us. You can also find a link there to our Buy Me a Coffee page, where you can donate to the show, which is entirely self-funded. Anyway, that's enough from me. Let's get to it.
Hey! Matt!
How are you doing? Are you
well? We're a little bit overexcited, aren't we? Yeah, I'm really good, mate. It's been a while, huh?
It's been a while. Oh, mate, the last couple of months have been absolutely non-stop. Just work's been mad. I feel like from like the end of September or middle of September until probably only a few weeks ago, I've had something wrong with me. Ear infections, terrible cold, and all kinds of stuff. I feel like I'd been ill for ages and stuff. Yeah. I'm feeling great now. Last couple of weeks.
You look great. You look great.
I feel good. You know, I'm really looking forward to Christmas in a good place. Yeah. Work's still absolutely mental, but otherwise I'm good. I'm good. I'm looking forward to Christmas and in a good place. And how about yourself, dude? You good?
Mate, yeah, very much the same. So people keep telling me that, you know, it'll get quieter as we get towards Christmas with work and stuff. I'm like, I've been here for 14 years. Like it doesn't happen. So I am closing down the laptop on Friday the 15th of December, and that's it. I'm starting my Christmas holidays. That's it. I'm done. And I'm not coming back until, what is it, 3rd or 4th of January, something like that. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I love Christmas. It's my favourite time of year. And I get to spend time with the kids. I've got some gigs coming up. December's been busy for gigs, but I'm good, mate. But very much like you, the last couple of months have flown by. In fact, I'm sure we'll mention it more than once today. This year has flown by. And yeah, I think the last time we properly spoke maybe was at the guitar show a few weeks back. Yeah. Was that it? Was that the last time we got together?
We haven't had the chance because, like, you know, we try and I mean, even though we only release a show every 2 weeks generally, we try and speak every week, you know.
We do.
And sometimes we end up building up a bit of content and we have to kind of go, let's get stuff out, because otherwise we can get a few weeks down the line, you know, 4 weeks down the line, and it's like, oh, The podcast that's coming out today, we recorded 2 months ago. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's not been like that the last couple of months because we've just been so mad busy. But but it's good to see you, mate. I mean, we've got loads to chat about, you know.
Mate, this could easily turn into a 2-hour episode, but I think we're gonna try and keep it punchy, right?
Yeah. I know. Can you see that behind me?
Mate, well, the first thing I was going to say, you're pointing behind you. And I must say, the first thing I noticed when we got onto the call was how different your background looks, right? Gone are the subtle, I mean, they're still there in part, but gone are the subtle kind of earthy hues and sunbursty type colours that adorned your guitar wall behind you. And now we're seeing some bolder things coming through. We're seeing, like, you know, the gold monster we haven't really spoken about. Yeah, those that follow the Guitar Geek website of ours or chat room will know about the gold monster, which made its debut outing on our stand at the Guitar Smart stand at the London International Guitar Show, and there was a lot of people going, oh, this is cool, what is it? And then New Guitar Week for you. This is not a Matt Oliver guitar, right? I mean, the juxtaposition of it sitting next to that Gretsch. And tell us what is the exact model number of this?
This is it's pretty cool guitar, actually. It's a Fernandez
of the Fernandez Sustainer company.
Same thing.
The
full company name was Fernandez Burney. So if you know of Burney, Les Pauls, they made some absolutely wonderful Gibson replicas during the 80s and late 70s as well. And it was the Fernandez company that did that. So Fernandez Burney is a company, and the Burney line was always those Gibson kind of copies. The Fernandez line was a lot of Fendery type stuff and a lot of kind of modern, you know, shreddy kind of things. And this is the Revolver FR65, which came in.
Great name. What a Revolver.
This is an old guitar. This is a 1987 guitar. It's 36 years old, this thing.
Oh my god, proper vintage.
This is from the period that it represents. Wow. This is not harking back. This is not a tribute to a particular time. This is an OG, right? This is a proper original mid-80s shredder, and it's an interesting guitar, very interesting guitar. It's in absolutely superb condition. It's a bit taken apart at the moment. You'll notice taking the bridge off.
Take the trem off,
taking the trem off because it doesn't have its original trem. Bizarre, right? So I was looking into the history of it, and it came with this. It's got kind of an original Floyd Rose non-locking trem lock. So it's got the locking nut, but the trem doesn't lock.
Interesting. I'm not sure I've ever seen a Floyd without the locking pieces on
first Floyd Rose trems weren't fully locking. They locked at the nut, right. and then they had the balanced kind of the trem system that wasn't screwed in. It's kind of held against a pulse, so it's like a blade that gets held against.
And the strings kind of string through the block somehow, do they?
The strings go straight through the block like a normal Strat trem. And then the saddles lock down, but they don't lock the strings into place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's what it is. And the Fernandez model of that license trem was called the Headbanker, which is a hilarious name.
Great names.
Yeah, when I ordered the guitar, I got it for a steal. Really, really good.
Am I allowed to ask?
I got £275
for a Japanese-made vintage guitar.
And this is a mid model. this would have been, you know, somewhere around the £1,000 mark, you know, brand new. So I got it for a steal, from a fantastic guitar store up in Leeds, I think, called Guitarzilla Music, and they shipped it beautifully, and they've been really helpful with a couple of questions I've had about the guitar, because it's not in its original specification. That tremolo that it came with predates the guitar. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Why would you retrofit a previous
clearly a previous owner of this guitar has decided they wanted this headbanker trem on it, or they wanted the trem, the off locking trem from this off of it to something else or whatever. Yeah. But because this is the weird thing, this isn't the original trem for the guitar, but it's a Fernandez only model trem. So I think a previous owner must have been a bit of a Fernandez aficionado kind of thing.
Yeah. You know? It's not like kind of one of those factory glitches where they kind of just went, oh, we've run out of locking.
No, it can't be, because they stopped making this trem 2 years before this guitar came out. So the headbanker was stopped in 85. And this one actually has headbanker kind of embossed into it, which means it's a later model headbanker. So this trem's probably, you know, 38 years old, something like that, which is kind of mind blowing your mama. But this guitar would have shipped in 87 with the FRT4 from, which just means Floyd Rose Trem 4 from Fernandez. And that's basically the full locking, you know, based on the second model, not the original model of the fully locking trem. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating history. There's some really cool websites online from people who clearly know their stuff about Japanese guitar builders.
I love how deep you've gone. Whitstable Guitars is another great place in the UK that specialise in Japanese stuff. You see a lot of I think that's pretty much all they do down there is Japanese stuff, so that's another person that you might want to tap
really
up
cool.
Yeah, if you get stuck. But it sounds like you've gone super deep into this, and we haven't even mentioned the colour.
No.
I mean, come on.
Purple Burst, 24 fret, maple fretboard and neck. Made it plays so good. The reason I'm changing the trem, I got to add, by the way, because I've got a licensed full locking trem on the way.
Nice.
Should arrive so I can get it back up to spec.
Right.
The reason I'm changing it, I didn't intend to change it. It's just, I noticed when I got the guitar, I was like, it's not working very well. It's not returning to pitch, you know, and I know it's not fully locking, but it's still a fully floating trem. It should still return to pitch. You know, I mean, for example, if you buy Guthrie Govan's latest Charvel, you get basically this model. This is you know, 40-year-old, and he prefers the non-locking Floyd Rose on his guitars. It's basically this, and that returns to pitch perfectly. And I just thought, I don't understand why that is. And I was looking inside it thinking, the trem post is catching against the wood on the inside. And then I lifted the trem off, and the screws that come down that lock the saddles in place, they're actually scratching against the body. So the only kind of frustrating thing about this is when there's a trem in place, you don't notice it. But when the trem's not there, unfortunately, whoever's added this at some point, this different trem has slightly damaged the body underneath it. Only very slightly. Not a bump. Not particularly worried about it. But
it's not a good retrofit. Whilst it kind of goes in, it doesn't operate correctly, and it's carved out a little bit of the wood as it's done.
It's basically not a perfect retrofit, and it's not working perfectly with a guitar. Mm,
it's got to go. Yeah.
But when I'd originally got it and tuned it up and everything and was playing it, it had a new set of tens on it, so it was feeling pretty good. The action is the lowest thing I've ever played. It was really set up very well, considering that trem is, and it just, for a shreddy guitar, it doesn't really have a kind of a thin neck. It's still quite a chunky neck, but it's got that kind of, I think it's a 14-inch radius and
nice flat board.
And really, really big frets.
You know, that sounds epic.
Do you know when the frets are so big that when you get up to kind of like the 20th fret, you can barely get your finger between two of them, you know, to kind of fret things. And I was playing around on it, and I was like, there's some stuff that I struggle to play on my strats. that because of the 24 frets and that kind of slightly more comfortable neck, I just found so easy kind of higher up the neck. The pickups sound great. There's a bit of a, cleaning whoever had this before has kept it in beautiful physical condition. There's not a ding on it. I mean, it's perfect.
No.
Right, everywhere. But they did try and do some electric stuff. So it originally came with these, it's got the two Fernandez pickups in it. So for those listening, its configuration is actually just two pickups, a neck single coil and a bridge pickup. Super hot bridge pickup. Sounds awesome. With a coil tap. So when you would have bought these, you would have had a single volume, a three-way selector switch that does the obvious, you know, neck both and then bridge, and then a little switch that allows you to short the first kind of coil to ground, right? So that you only get the inner coil of the bridge pickup. But that's not what's happening. When I flick that switch, I'm still getting sound changes on the neck alone and stuff like that. And I think looking at the wiring and looking at what's been done, I think what a previous owner's tried to do is change that double pole, double throttle switch to be a phase switch to change the pickup's phase connections, because it's not wired how you should wire a coil tap, which is actually a standard kind of coil tap's really simple. You literally just want to short where the two coils join, where north and south join to kind of go into series into one. You just ground that, so it effectively becomes the ground for one of the coils. It's dead simple.
Yeah, nicely explained.
It's there's all kinds of stuff going on, and it's definitely kind of, if you kind of look up how to wire to a phase parallel switch, it's kind of wired up like that, but it's not working correctly, because when you're just in the neck position, you get kind of weird artifacts and volume changes when you change that switch. So I think they've done it, not got it right, and gone, stuff it, I'll just leave it like that.
It sounds all right, all works. But
yeah, exactly. The components are fine, everything's working fine, the switch is fine. That wiring's incorrect. So I'll correct that wiring.
Start again.
Yeah. Clean it up in the
pickups are there. It's a bit of wire, it's a bit of soldering, and replace some pots if you want.
Sorry to interrupt this conversation. However, if you're a regular listener, then do us a favour. Share us with your friends. Spread the word. Help us to grow. And remember to hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.
For our listeners that might be wondering what Matt's talking about and stuff, or are not as au fait with kind of all the different options of wiring diagrams and stuff, a great resource that I still utilize all the time just to remind myself when I'm concentrating on a particularly more complex job is the Seymour Duncan website, right?
Yeah.
If you go onto there, right, there's like a wiring diagram wizard, for want of a better word, where you can basically select from all the little drop-down menus what configuration of pickups you've got, how you want it to kind of be wired, etc. And it populates a really nice, clean, easy-to-follow wiring diagram for you, so you can see exactly where everything's got to go. So, you can almost kind of just follow those A to B instructions if you're not sure about the kind of some of the stuff that you were talking about, Matt, if that gets a little bit confusing for some people. Which it still does for me on some complex wiring stuff. I'm like, right, where's that supposed to go again? Where does that go? And just gives you something to follow, right, as you're doing
exactly it. Exactly that. It can be complex and confusing wiring. And even as an electrical, an electronics engineer, effectively, from many moons ago, even I still get confused about these things. But it's great, man. One of the reasons I love it is, do you know how I've said before, like, there's this old Charvette.
Yes.
It's my first electric that I keep looking out for. Yeah. One day I was like, I'll have it.
You'll find
this is kind of the same configuration. So it's same body shape, same number of frets, same pickup configuration, and even angle. So the neck pickup's like slightly angled, the bridge pickup's just normal. That's what the Charvette was. And that Charvette had a black Floyd Rose on it too. So it's kind of, there's a part
kind of chimed kind of, with you. You kind of saw it and went, hello.
I don't know if I'm ever going to find this Charvette, but this kind of ticks the box. And I thought, well, Fernandez do actually have a really good history. You know, one of the best Japanese builders for sure, and a proper bona fide original Japanese builder. Fernandez were one of those similar to Korta these days, where you know, a lot of the early Squire guitars and Japanese Fenders were effectively built in the same factory, the Fernandes builders, you know. So there was Fuji Gen and all those guys. Fernandes were another one of the big ones. And then I kept thinking, well, actually, I remember during the early 90s, Dominic Miller saying he used Fernandes guitars on Ted Sumner's Tales, things like that.
Right, there
like,
you go.
Enough. I think I should try it at Fernandes. There's enough. I've such a good price. You know, I'm happy to kind of take a punt on it without trying it. But I can't wait to get one of their sustainers in it.
Put one of their sustainers in it. They're amazing.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, if you buy, you know, a Fernandes sustainer guitar, I mean, those are expensive as well, aren't they?
Basically, you can buy the electronics and the pickup separately and just retrofit it to any guitar.
Although I don't need that anymore, Kieran, now that Line 6 have updated the Helix firmware.
It's probably on your Helix, isn't it? Just an infinite compressor.
There you go. So I've got it on my latest gig preset. Yeah. It's one of my buttons on the Helix is now the momentary switch that'll give me a feedback on anything I'm playing, an octave and a fifth above. So I can simulate my amp going into crazy feedback in tune with what I'm playing.
That's awesome.
And then I take my foot off. It's basically what the Digitech Freakout pedal does that you can buy, but it's now I can just put it anywhere in my
for all of those old people like me who kind of lament at the journey that Matt has so successfully gone down with his Helix and rightly is smug about. If you want to do it the way I do it on a gig, slightly cock your wah pedal in the forward position and then go to the back of the stage where your amp is and hold your guitar against it, and you can get some wonderfully controlled feedback without having to worry about programming it. But you will probably lose your hearing in the process.
I mean, always, you know.
you can't do that with your Helix, but
you know, I don't get the opportunity. I mean, like, I had a gig last Thursday, fairly last minute thing. The band that I dept with for most of the year, they had a last minute gig last Thursday for like a Christmas party. And again, I was just thinking to myself, I don't know how I'd get through these gigs if I didn't have the Helix, because the band pretty much mandates that we have to be on in ears. And when I got there, you know, there wasn't even a place for me to put an amp, let alone, you know, have one that I could have loud pointing at my ears. So, you know, as much as I do, you know, love and talk about the Helix, there is nothing better than standing in front of a loud, properly good, decent sounding guitar amp. You can't beat that. Mm. But if the opportunities for me to play like that are few and far between.
To be honest, mate, it's probably coming of a time for me as well. As I get older and want to preserve my hearing more, and being more conscious about how often I'm gigging now and standing in front of loud amps and all of that, I've started using earplugs at every gig, which I'm getting used to, actually. The first few gigs with it were just depressing in many ways, because it just sucks the tone out of what you're used to hearing, right? It's there for the audience and whatever, but for you as the performing musician, you've kind of lost a lot of your mid and high end that really, you know, gives you that visceral feeling that you're playing a valve amp wound up really nice and loud and on stage. But I've kind of got used to it now, and once you play with the position of it, and in the new year I'm going to get some proper custom molded ones which should hopefully fit a little bit more comfortably, and then I can play with different filters to kind of get the right kind of balance. But as I'm doing all of that, I'm kind of thinking, if I just move to a Helix and in it is, like, none of this would be a problem, and I'd still get all my tone without having the high end rolled off, and just keep the volume at a sensible volume in the IEM. So, you know, I am thinking more and more about it as I get older. I mean, there's only so many more years that I can stand next to a full-on acoustic drum kit being hit at full pelt for you know, hours on end, and a 40-watt Fender Deluxe wound up, like, behind me, and it not take a toll, right? Mm. So whilst I tease you for your adoption of this newfangled gadgetry, to be fair, it might be the way to go in the future. But
do you know, it's really not now getting past a point where it always used to be about the, does it sound like a real amp yet? That's kind of gone, right? That conversation, you don't ever hear that conversation anymore. It's never kind of get the Helix or get the Fractal or get the Neural Cortex or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never kind of, do they sound like real amps anymore? I think we're past that point now.
I agree.
They do sound like real amps, and they react like the amps as well. They clean up now like the amps did. We're past that point that that's a relevant conversation. It's always about the flexibility. You know, if you go on to the Facebook groups now, to, you know, where people are using digital modelers and they're talking about them. A couple of years ago, it used to be which ones sound the closest to the amps, which ones feel the best. If you go on there now, everyone's talking about software updates. That's a big thing that people are really concerned about. And DSP, the amount of processing power that these things have. Because, like, for example, the Helix is actually now getting quite old. And as they update the sounds and they update the capabilities, it's kind of the same as your computer getting slower because software is getting more demanding. So, you know, you can choose all your effects and stuff in a Helix. But when you get to the cape, you know, if you select a really demanding amp model and a couple of complex effects like a really spacey reverb algorithm or something, then when you go to select a new effects, it'll grey out all the ones that it doesn't have the power to do. And that is starting to happen more frequently as these things are updated. So these are the talking points for people now when they're buying modelers. They're saying which ones have got the most DSP, which ones are updating the software more frequently so I can take advantage of improved sounds, new effects and things like that.
Future-proofing.
But you don't hear the thing anymore. Is it? Can I get rid of my amp for it? You know,
no, you don't. The dinosaurs are dying off. And,
well, it's not a dinosaur thing because everything in the Helix is still trying to sound like the real thing.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, well, saying there are some models that are Line 6 originals, but they're still based on mixtures of proper amp sounds. But it is kind of a thing. Like you said, if you're trying to protect your hearing and you want longevity, you want the ability to keep gigging for as long as you can, digital modeling does help with that, obviously.
Of course it does. Know, yeah.
You can kind of, you can get rid of that amp on the stage thing. But
That's it. I mean, I know when I did that debt gig earlier this year for the DLB, and Damien and Dave from the band kindly helped me get all configured with the Iridium. Actually, it was Matt Lake's Iridium that he kindly loaned me for the gig. And I just used my normal pedal board, but obviously without amp, and went into the Iridium, and then they sorted out all the in-ear stuff for me. The end of the gig, no fatigue whatsoever, no ringing, no tinnitus after the gig, just all cool. And the thing that people, including yourself, had warned me about going, it's a very different thing and it's weird and you might not like it. Well, it only lasted about 10 minutes when I was just like, man, it's cool. I get it. You know. So, yeah, a few things that we're thinking of. This weekend, actually, we're doing a big gig. We're doing the Christmas ball for the officers' mess at the big Royal Naval Base down here in Portsmouth. So that's going to be a big old shindig. But we're miking up everything now. Drum kit as well, and kind of if we can get that right, which we're going to have to, because normally we just mic up my guitar cab, and because we're playing small clubs and pubs, the drums are fine normally, but no, on this gig everything's going through the PA. So if we can get that all right, then it kind of begs the question, well, shall I just move over to in-ear monitoring for everything as well if we're going to start running everything through the desk. So interesting.
It is interesting, you know. I mean, at least it's great to have the flexibility, at least, isn't it, to be able to kind of do what you want to do. Miking up an amp can be hard. One thing I will say that's a risk if you're kind of going in-ear monitors but still miking up loud guitar amps is that if you kind of if somebody on the desk doesn't have your guitar levels set up or gain structure set up correctly, and you stomp on a couple of distortion pedals and suddenly you get all that feedback through the PA, you're going to pierce your eardrums with monitoring that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that is another advantage to modelling as well, as it helps you mitigate issues that can hurt you. The gig I had last Thursday, the keys player, I can't remember which song it was, but there was a song where he had, was it Anki Valley or something like that, where it's December 1963. Do you know that song? Starts with the piano. Da, da, da,
da, da, da, oh, da, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, what a night. Doing that.
And there's this middle section that comes in a couple of times that's got the synth sound, kind of thing. And the keys player, when he switched his to that patch, it was so hot. It was like, it must have been 20 decibels louder than everything else that he played. Right. And he hadn't leveled his patches. He's a decent keys player, but man, he's so disorganized. I mean, there were some songs, like we did Superstition. And we must have been in the middle of the first chorus before he's got his clav sound and he's
brilliant.
And I'm just looking at him going, "Are you ready?
Are you coming in before?"
You know, and but anyway, when it got to that synth sound, it was like it must have been 20 decibels louder than everything. And we've all set up our monitor mixes, and you just saw he started playing, and the whole band, we all just kind of went, all of us on in ears just kind of were playing, and it looks like we're just suddenly being electrocuted.
Reaching for the back of your pack, yeah.
It just that's something I hate about IEMs is when you can get a great sounding mix. It's just magic. You can set your volume level how you like it. You can hear everyone great, hear yourself great. You know, you're not kind of dealing with the acoustic issues. But when you can't get your mix right, which I couldn't on that last gig, just a nightmare. But just it is what it is, isn't it?
It's a different thing. It's a different thing to come to grips with, right? You know, it's given us new reasons to buy stuff and experiment with stuff and figure out how to get the tones we like. Yeah. So it's all fun, man. But
we never need to worry about finding reasons to buy stuff, do we?
We really don't. What else have we bought this year? So you bought that Fernandez. You've bought your gold one as well.
Yeah, I built the gold one. I'm getting rid of the Esquire. That's up for sale.
You are getting rid of it. Was that this? No, that wasn't this year. That was last year. That was your big birthday.
That was last year. I bought the Gretsch and I played that Esquire and I thought, this is really cool, and I've always wanted a single pickup guitar. If I can get that for a good enough deal with the Gretsch, then I'll get that as well. And to be fair, I've played it a few times. I do like it, but it just I can't seem to kind of
bonded with it.
Yeah, that's the better way. I almost said something that maybe somebody younger would say, which is that I couldn't quite vibe with it.
Oh.
I think the word vibe is way overused though these days. That's a different conversation. But anyway,
I'm just reeling from you using the word vibe. You can vibe.
I just haven't really connected with it. Like you said, I haven't bonded with it really. And it's a cool guitar. It plays beautifully. It's in mint condition. It's very. I mean, what Squire Classic vibe? You know, they knock it out of the park. You can't go wrong with a classic vibe, you know. And it is a beautiful guitar, but I just thought, because I remember after the gigging ended, we were talking about modding season, you know, and I think I'm going to mod that guitar. And that kind of came out of the desire to try and get
a connection
with it, you know, can I make it, can I give it something, a new pickup or a new neck or whatever that makes me go, okay, now I'm really connecting with this. And in the end, I ended up building a Strat. It's hilarious.
I'm buying another guitar. I love it. I love the journey. Because if we'd have told you this at the beginning when you were thinking about just slightly modifying this guitar, didn't this conversation start a few months ago with, I think I might get it refretted?
Yes.
And then we went on a whole journey. And fast forward, if people want to know that journey, go and listen to the last few episodes of the podcast. It got too convoluted for me to even summarize it now. But I love the way that, should I get this guitar refretted, has in a matter of 12 weeks resulted in two new guitars and that one being sold. It's brilliant. I love it.
It's madness, isn't it? I mean,
I love it.
It's like, you know, should I refret this guitar? Maybe it needs modding. And anyway, a few months later, I've got two different guitars and nothing's changed about that. You know, it's like,
that one's still there.
It's like the roof needs fixing. Okay, I'll go and buy two new houses. It's just ridiculous.
When you put it like that. But this is guitars and they're smaller than houses. Exactly. So, you know. And they're pretty.
Exactly. I mean, it's been really good for guitars. But I'm not the only one who's bought a new guitar.
I did buy a new guitar. I just won this year.
Just won this year, but just won this year. Special one, right?
Oh, mate. So this was at the International Guitar Show. And I didn't go to the guitar show intending to buy a guitar, I must say, which sounds slightly weird for a guitar geek to go to a guitar show and not intend to buy a guitar. But that's only because I've been blissfully happy and smug with the guitars I'm gigging, with what I've got, and just thought, do you know what? I'm happy. Unless something truly special comes along, then great. But I'd rather spend the money on holidays and, you know, other stuff, because I've got some beautiful guitars and I'm out gigging and playing them and all is good. But for a while I've been, and I used to play acoustic guitar a lot. It used to be my mainstay, even for doing gigs and stuff when I was going through university and stuff like that. Yes, I used to gig with kind of function bands and stuff, but I used to do a lot of gigs with just an acoustic and a few other guys in university. And, you know, the acoustic guitar that I've got I love it, but it sounds best plugged in. It's one of those guitars which has got a nice sound acoustically, but it's an electroacoustic and it's a medium budget range guitar. So really where the money's been spent on it is not exotic tone woods and, you know, brilliant luthiery, even though it's very well made and a lovely guitar, but it's the electronics in it as well. So that was my main acoustic. But I've always thought, and having tried other nice acoustics over the years, I've always thought I really want a really nice sounding acoustic, one of those ones where you just strum it and you just go, yeah. Oh. So I've been looking for a couple of years now, you know, gone to various guitar shops, tried some out, they've been poorly set up. Mm. Or just not anything better than what I've got. As I said, my mainstay acoustic is decent.
And you haven't always, dare I say it, vibed with the guitars. sorry.
Oh, every time I get a little wave of nausea creeping up my esophagus. I haven't vibed. Oh, I can't even say it. I haven't bonded with anything, right? And you know that feeling, right? When you pick up a guitar and you just go, like you did with your Gretsch, and you just kind of go, oh, that's it. But in no hurry to get anything, because, you know, I'm not gigging acoustics anymore and I've got a nice enough one at home, so all is good. And then we go to the London Guitar Show and we're mooching around, and you spotted this guitar because of your penchant for, you know, the Gibson J45 in that kind of sunbursty finish, which I've always really liked as well. And so we stumbled across JWJ guitars, based up in Shropshire. A lovely guy called Rich, you know, single luthier based company.
Listeners of the podcast will remember him from the little snippet of an interview we did at the end of the first London
we
Guitar
did
Show
grab him, didn't we?
Was that a few weeks ago? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. he's on that. Go check out the website, JWJ Guitars. So anyway, he said to you, as you remarked on his beautiful array of acoustic guitars all lined up, you know, with some pretty hefty price tags. We're not talking, you know, inexpensive stuff. So I immediately thought, I'm not going to be able to buy anything or afford anything here today, as beautiful as they were. So we went and tried some anyway in the back room, because he was kind enough to let us do that. And my God, from the moment that I played this particular guitar, there was just that sound, that snap, that kind of
vibe,
kind of that vibe. that bond. Not James Bond.
Yeah.
No. All right. James Vibes.
God, sorry. Stop this nonsense. Anyway.
And it was there. It was there, right? So it was kind of like, oh, okay, that's really nice. And we tried some other stuff of his as well. And what I must say is, actually, then when you look at the quality of what he's making and the price point and the sound, and I told him the consistency of sound and tuning of these guitars in terms of how he's made them, and they then all have that kind of consistency of really lovely round low end, nice balance through the mid range and clear highs. You just go, that's really clever that he's, and he described it to me. It's like, you know, this is how I build them, this is how I do the bracing, this is, you know, so it's not by accident that my guitars have this type of sound. They're really light to hold, like deceptively light, but the tone woods are nothing short of wonderful. The craftsmanship is exquisite. Now, I'm really, you know, pernickety about how guitars, you know, fit and finish, even though I can't make an acoustic like this. I can see when it's been badly done, and these JWJs are just beautiful instruments. We tried out a bunch of them. We tried out the kind of smaller parlor size one, which I also really loved, and I'm kind of hankering for one of those next. I'm going to buy more of his guitars because they are just stunning. He ended up doing me a brilliant deal, and thanks again, Rich, for that on this guitar, because it just had that sound. It's a Slope Shoulder Custom is the model. It's got that. It's got a triple A grade torrified Sitka spruce top. So that's a piece of spruce that's been properly aged and dried out to the point where it's kind of broken in already.
I was quite torrified holding it.
Rigid beyond doubt. Honduras mahogany, proper Honduras mahogany. Yeah. You don't see that often. Back and sides, one piece mahogany neck. Ebony. African ebony fingerboard and bridge, C-shaped neck profile, nickel steel frets and with a Hiscox case. I mean, this thing, mate, is just beautiful. Got it home, emailed Rich and said, look, I'm gonna drop it from 12s to 11s on it because that's my preferred gauge. And he was, you know, we exchanged a few emails, etc. I've done that. I've lowered the saddle as well because I wanted to lower the action on it just to my own taste. And it's dialed in, mate. It's absolutely beautiful. He'd cut the nut absolutely to perfection. It's not even a criticism because he'd set it up really nicely for kind of anybody to pick up and play comfortably. But I like mine as low as I can get them. And I managed to do it just by with a couple of tweaks on the truss rod and just taking a couple of mil off the bone saddle. And that's it. It's there. It's absolutely there. And the neck profile it's bigger than I would. Well, it's certainly a lot bigger than what I have on my other acoustic, which I've used a lot for lead work and kind of things. But my other acoustic was never really comfortable enough to do a lot of fingerstyle stuff on because it has a very narrow neck on it. So what I've actually found with this one is that for open chords and for a lot of fingerstyle stuff, it's just a lot more comfortable to play, even though it's got more of like what I would say like a Les Paul type neck on it. Not the baseball bat type Les Paul necks, but kind of like the 59, almost 58 type Les Paul neck. It's that kind of round, comfortable profile. But once I'd tweaked and dialed the action and mate, it's stunning. So as of last night, this only happened last night, it is up on the wall and there for me to get down because I did actually sell one of my guitars that I've not used for a long time, one that I was no longer vibing with. it got excommunicated from the vibe pit. Which was a Yamaha 12 string, which I'd had since I was 17 years old. And had done some gigs and stuff with it. And we had some memories, but I just wasn't playing it anymore. Yeah. And managed to sell it last night in a classic shady down the pub deal from a guy that traveled, you know, the length and breadth in the rain to come and meet me in a pub and buy it off me. I managed to sell him the Hiscox case with it too as well. So he spent more than he intended to, but yeah, he got a great deal on it all. So that all went last night. And it turned out that model of guitar he'd been hunting for years because it was one that his mum had previously bought him and he'd sold on, but regretted selling it because there was memories there with his mum. And he'd been looking for that particular model of Yamaha 12 string for years, bearing in mind it was a 30-year-old guitar. So when he saw it, and it was in mint condition anyway, he vibed with it straight away. And that was it. It was like, I'm buying it. So, you know, it's sometimes guitars are made for people. Right?
Exactly.
And that one was made to go to him. And these JWJ guitars, I tell you what, buddy, it's that acoustic I've always wanted. And I've sold a few things, some pedals, that 12 string, a Hiscox case. So even though Rich did me an absolutely brilliant price on it, what I would say is even at full price, his guitars are well worth the money. If you think about what you're getting compared to what you would have to pay Martin or Taylor or any of those kind of companies, I mean, you would have to add another £1,000 immediately, if not more, to get what he's giving you. So they are well worth it. And he made that guitar for himself. He wasn't intending to sell it, but obviously he's a business. So when I fell in love with it, I was just like, it's mine.
I think that's what this year has been about for us. It's been about reconnecting with guitars and specific instruments, you know, like not just new things, but, you know, I've really reconnected with my Les Paul this year, thanks to those beautiful pickups and resetting it up and stuff like that. And next year for me is going to be all about reconnecting with learning. That's what I want to do. 2024 for me is going to be all about getting back into a practice routine, setting goals, getting better at playing guitar, being able to play things, because I don't want to lose my facility on the instrument. We're all getting older. We're all, you know, sometimes I do think, you know what, I'm not actually this I used to be able to be better at. I want next year to be the year I get better at guitar.
You get better every year, mate, and that's already off a very high baseline.
Thank you, mate. You as well, you know,
we all do, right?
We're all shredders. all do our best with all of it. And so that's what I'd two things. I'd love for you to put the picture of that JWJ on to Guitar Geek Hangout, just because I'd love to see it again. But also, if you listen to this, tell us what 2024 is going to mean to you as a guitarist. What are you going to do in 2024? Are you going to reconnect with your guitars? Are you going to learn to set them up? Are you going to practice? Are you going to, you know, indulge us in what your plans are? And we'll see you, because this will come out just before Christmas, and then I think we'll probably end up we'll take a bit of a break over Christmas, mate.
We'll have a break over Christmas, yeah,
and then we'll be back in the new year. So, mate, have an excellent Christmas. I'll speak
and
to you
before. Pal,
have a
we'll chat over the Christmas break and have a virtual sherry or something.
Exactly, yeah. and to all our listeners, thanks for being with us in 2023.
Yes,
we'll see you next year.
Thank you guys, keep listening. Thanks for all the support on the podcast, and have a great Christmas break and see you in 2024.
Awesome. All the best, mate. Speak to you later.
Cheers, pal.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like what you hear, then why not give the rest of our shows a good listen to? And if you love our podcast and are a regular listener who wants to support the show even more, then consider buying us a coffee over on our Buy Me a Coffee page. Anyway, best wishes. See you in 2024 on the Guitar Smarts podcast.